Media Lens on Sabah al-Muslim with Ibrahim.
Welcome to the program, Hafiz Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam and thanks for having me.
Shukran for joining us. So this morning we look at the New York Times Hamas rape story and how they've covered it from October the 7th. So we've seen that universities in the United States have written a letter to the New York Times about its coverage and the unsubstantiated claims of sexual violence that it had claimed that Hamas had carried out. So what is the story all about?
So, Israel's actions in Gaza became a lot more intensive and a lot more criticized, and people started seeing it for what it was, not just a response. Public sentiment started shifting in the U.S. And we then saw an article in December talking about, supposed sexual violence committed by Hamas, during the October 7th attack on Israel. Many discounted it. Many did say there needs to be more investigations. And it did, in many instances, change how the coverage happened at that time. However, subsequent to that, there was a call for evidence to be provided. That has not since occurred, and it's basically been seen now as an attempt to smear Hamas. In February, it was found out that, the authors who concluded those articles, were actually Islamophobes and had called, for the destruction of Gaza. And so, questions then began raised even more on, how the New York Times, as we've seen a few weeks ago, a leaked document on how its wording covering the offensive or the genocide, is also actually not just using its narrative shaping and discourse shaping, but it's also having articles and basically a forming a sense of propaganda. This letter has been was signed on by 50 tenured professors, all of journalism in U.S. universities, saying that the New York Times needs to provide the evidence for this claim, investigate this claim, and also provide the reason as to why it didn't retract the story, even when it was clear that this was, in the sense of fabrication. It's significant because for the first time in many years, these so-called or supposed neutral newspapers, the New York Times is called the newspaper of the U.S. That propaganda is actually being questioned, especially as it supports U.S. interests, U.S. and Israeli interests.
How is this being covered by the media?
So, as is the case with these stories, especially in Western media, there's no coverage. There was very little coverage of the fact that there was a lot of coverage of the actual article, articles on the BBC, stories on the BBC, CNN presenters questioning people like, the Progressive Democratic Caucus members on this. But when it became clear that the story was just propaganda, was actually false, for the most part, there has been no real questioning, of the story from U.S. media, Western media, and, counter media have, unfortunately, have bigger stories to cover because, we've seen tens of people being massacred in Gaza everywhere. And that's a much bigger story. So it doesn't really get the coverage on Middle Eastern and media aimed at countering dominant discourses as well, because obviously that the conflict or the massacre, the genocide is still ongoing. And so, unfortunately, many don't really know about these stories. Many get questioned about these rape allegations and unable to actually defend the fact that the story was wrong. and we then start victim blaming, when in actual fact, much of the evidence that the New York Times cited in that article actually has been dispelled by the family members of the supposed people who were raped, or who were supposedly raped. So, you know, that unfortunately, stories like these, get missed in the ether. Obviously falsely covered and not really covered when they found out in Western media, and unfortunately fall into the ether, when it comes to media such as Al Jazeera, such as Al Monitor, such as Middle East Monitor. I think Middle East Eye is one of the few outlets covering it at the moment.
And is there any change?
You know, we see a change in sentiment, right? In the U.S., we're starting to see. We see this especially the polling amongst young voters shows that many are now fed up, tired, and actually seeing Israel for what it is. This change, though, will take very long to happen. So we've seen the protests, for example, that's happening now in U.S. universities, as you talked about. The protest now just yesterday got cracked down. Police said called in Columbia University. That they will, many of these students are journalists. I mean, Columbia is a famous journalist school. At least in the medium to longer term, this narrative shift will make a difference. The problem, though, is there's currently an ongoing conflict. People are dying in their tens and hundreds every day in Gaza. How long will it take for these stories to actually break through mainstream media to actually force policymakers to make decisions? And even when that's the case, as we're seeing in the student protests or in the increasing criticism in Germany, how will these politicians start being forced to make these decisions? And unfortunately, at the moment, that doesn't look like it's changing, in the short term.
Yes, unfortunately. Jazakumullah khair. We appreciate the insight that you shared with us this morning. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Ibrahim Deen with the media lens looking at this story that 50 professors from universities have written to the New York Times about its coverage of the October 7th. The coverage in which they accused Hamas of sexual violence. They haven't provided any support for that. So the credibility of the New York Times certainly online.